Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 214, part 1, Separated. Today is Friday, September 30th, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if your household needs food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's and register your household for monthly groceries. You would come between 9:30 and 10:30, Monday through Friday, bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verification of the household members, either medical cards or social security cards. It's that simple. Pastor Paul's club distributes a lot of groceries, so be sure to bring help carrying the food, or if you're on the bus, bring a grocery cart or a huge bag, because there is a lot of food. A lot of times, Pastor Paul gives away cases of perishable food as well, such as fruits and vegetables and 20-pound bags of onions. We deal with a lot of perishable foods, fresh foods, as well as frozen, not so much in the canned goods. So be sure to be prepared to carry, bring extra bags. Okay, if you have any questions, you want more information about Pastor Paul's club, you can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. Be sure to go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find a link to Pastor Paul's podcast. So be sure to go there to check out the show notes as well. And then there are the scripture links in the show notes too. And subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast. Now for the month of September, these are the messages. The poor, self-righteous, crossing over, commitment, and separated. So be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. That's all I have for you. Have a great month of September. God bless you.
Today's message is entitled Separated. Today, let's look into Romans 1, 20 and 21. They were without excuse because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. But before we continue, let's have a little background approach to the scene and its characters in the chapter from, let's say, verse 1 and scene 1. And we have Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now I think all ministers should be separated unto the gospel of God. Now Paul hadn't seen at this time the Romans when he wrote this epistle, and I believe they were strangers to him, and therefore he begins by asserting his apostleship, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And I think that description, like I said, should be true of every Christian minister. And I know as a fact, from generation to generation, that seed is passed down. That seed of the gospel preacher is passed down, 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 down. I remember my grandma praying and being a prayer warrior and falling down under the power of God before they even had such a thing as a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And in their church, they would cover their mouths up, for they would start to speak in a new language. They become so enthused in worshiping God. That seed came down into our family and in your families. But somewhere in my life, I knew I was called. I knew when I was 8 years old, I was called. Coming to the altars of God, I felt different after leaving that altar. Now, there wasn't an altar call, but they had the mourner's bench, whatever you want to call it then. And I felt compelled to go up there, and when I left there, I felt different. That sort of followed me all the way through my life, and I always remember that great feeling that I had when I went to that altar and that change that went on, whatever that it was. Not knowing exactly what it was, I sort of stumbled through my life, but I believe that call was to be an apostle and to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I really knew that sometime back while going through my worldly antics and the making of money and the grabbing and the money grabbing and all that went on. There's somewhere in me I knew I was called to be a gospel preacher, and after that I had got up around 36 and 37, 38 and like that just before my conversion when I was 39. I used to tell the people, I really feel that I'm called to be a preacher or a teacher or something's lacking in my life. Not knowing that that description that I'm reading here today, a servant of Jesus Christ called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, would cause me to go all the way, to take away all my excuses, for it says they were without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. You're seeing a lot of that right now, aren't we? And I don't think we are separated or called to be anything else than a gospel preacher. I don't think we're really to have anything to do with politics. I mean, our kingdom, it says in the Bible, is not of this world. How can you have two kingdoms? And I'm seeing a lot of crossovers now. People crossing over from gospel preaching over into the world situation and into politics. World debates, if you will. No, we are not called to debate, but to declare the main issue, Jesus Christ. And whenever I go out and I get into the political arena, which I have been in a couple of times, I always know, and I always feel that desire to preach the gospel. And you know what? I always do. Sometime before I get up to speak, I think, well, now these people probably won't receive it, and so I just sort of hang back a little bit and try to sneak it in. And the first thing I do when I get up is open my mouth up, and out of my mouth comes the gospel message. But I know what I'm called to do, to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to be about the master's business, the Bible says. You know what? That will keep us plenty busy. To be about the master's business. Now, as a preacher of the gospel, I can't be a part-time preacher. If I'm to be about the Father's business, and we are to be about the Father's business, it's not a part-time thing. No, you're born into the kingdom of God. You're not of this world. I'm not saying that you monk it and you go to some cave someplace or get weird and dance around the middle of the floor in sort of a spiritual frivolity without any realism. But what I'm saying is that we're dedicated and we're committed to ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's a powerful message. And so, being about the master's business is being separated unto the gospel of God. Now let's go from verse 1 and 1 to verses 1, 20 through 21. And it says they were without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. Not sort of a sad thing that you're seeing all the time. That a lot of times we can know God and then just deny God. And as I was reading the book of Romans, you know, read the book of Romans and all the books, read them over and over and over, because as you grow, you'll get a new revelation out of them always. According to your circumstance and according to your situation, as you grow in the wisdom knowledge of the Lord, well, you get a brand new thing out of it. You have more understanding. But anyway, when reading the book of Romans, I thought it could be written right now today of Minneapolis here. Minneapolis 1. 20 through 21. Unmentionable crimes. Awful vices. Being in the food, let's say, salvage. Being in the feeding of the poor. You see a lot of vices. And you see a lot of discrepancies. And you see a lot of hypocrisy. And you see a lot of spiritual, for lack of a better word, but I think it's a good one, spiritual baloney. So-called spiritual. And I thought, oh, how the whole chapter of Romans lines up with right now. And so let's, while it's still called today, go to the now, right now. I think a lot of times we think, well, after and so on, and, you know, my feet hurt or whatever, and why, what an interesting knothole on the wall over there, whatever. I mean, we've got to face the issue right now. I was sitting the other day and thinking about the gospel message. And I thought, you know, I'm in the present, but I can't live in the present forever. It's passing. Do you ever try to live in the present forever on sort of a perpetual honeymoon? I remember a person getting up and said, my husband and I we're just on a honeymoon. Been that way for years. And I thought to myself, well, it's time to get off of the honeymoon. I mean, there's things to do. You can't pick out some present situation and live in that present situation. You're not in a honeymoon right now. Now, go on with your life. I mean, how long can you live in a motel? And how uncomfortable to be wearing these wedding gowns for 6 or 7 years? And that tuxedo, my, you look ridiculous going to work in it and telling people we're on our honeymoon. You're just married. No, as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, and after that you're married to the Lord, you go on. Sometimes something will tickle our spiritual goose pimples and they'll pop out on our bodies. We say, oh, if I could only contain that day. If I could only contain that moment. When I first started preaching, you know, I'd go out and I'd feel a move of the Holy Spirit. And I was evangelizing and I'd feel this tremendous rush and this adrenaline flow and feel a move of the Holy Ghost. And I felt that move so mightily here on Friday night. And I would be so exuberant. And I'd be way up on top of it. But then I would go down. And I thought to myself, now, what did I do, and how can I maintain that high? It was almost like you're on drugs. People experiment with drugs, and they say, now, I want to get on that two reefer high or that two martini high before you start slipping down into the valley. Well, I want to get into that one drug. Now, which drug should I mix together to get on that perpetual high, staying right there all the time high? Preachers, you know what I'm talking about. It's a move of the Holy Spirit, and it's a power that comes into your body, and you want to maintain that. Oh, let's build three tabernacles, Peter said. I have been so transfigured by this transfiguration message. On this mountaintop experience, let's just stay up here and let's don't go down. It's too nice and I'm floating. That's why it doesn't stay. That's why reality creeps in, and that's why there's a lot of phonyism, because people are not ministering the gospel. See, when you're ministering the gospel, you're in touch with reality and you're seeing the needs of the poor and you're seeing the needs of the people. That's why it's so powerful. That's why it's so needed to be separated to preaching of the gospel. And no, you don't hear a lot of gospel preaching anymore. A fellow came into my office the other day and he says, well, you know, the people that are saved at Billy Graham, they're not really saved. Because they just go forward. I said, you know, this is from the pits what you're saying. Those people are most assuredly saved. They're not saved by your wisdom. But see, here is this beautiful man of God like Billy Graham doing this wonderful work. And as he preaches the gospel, he has to suffer for the gospel. But he still preaches the gospel because he's separated to do that. Such is my case. I believe I'm separated. I believe all preachers are separated to the preaching of the gospel, no matter what the cost. And so we can't live forever in the present. Now, since we started here, we're going from present to present to present to present to present to present to present. Time is marching on, isn't it? And I'm going to speak about ourselves today, about some people listening to me whom my text admirably fits. And I fear that I will be speaking to some that are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. See, just knowing God should cause you to give thanks. Well, Lord, why don't you give me something to be thankful for? Oh, please give me something to be thankful for. A car, a house, a woman, something, Lord, huh? Because that when they knew God, now knowing God, I know that's something to know God. They glorified Him not as God. What an insult to know God and then not glorify Him as God. to get bored with God. Now, how do you mean being bored with God? I mean that when you're in the service of God, you don't know God if you're not excited about what God has got you doing. And so, they were without excuse. Well, they can find an excuse. Well, I didn't like so-and-so. I just don't like the way Mike combs his hair, so I quit. I use that as an example, but I mean, that's the way people are. They find some excuse, and actually, they want to deny God, and so they find a way out of it. Lock all the doors and windows, because I know conviction will rise. Don't turn your radios off. Don't crawl under the seat, and don't you crawl under your bed and eat your Frito-Lays and drink your Pepsi whilst you listen to this. You're on the radio. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. I thought, oh my God, how thankful we should be that God is using us in this food ministry with tons of food. Literal, tons and tons and tons of food. Shall, it says, men give unto your bosom. Friday, I said, I'm going to say something. I hope, my God, I hope you're excited. We're getting food by the ton. There was a little bit of excitement, not too much, so you'd hardly even notice it. See, when we're full, we don't get excited about it. But boy, you be empty one time, you'll get excited about it. You'll get excited about it if you went, you didn't eat for, now, when you go on a prolonged fast, aren't you glad to see food? Huh? You have them visions while you're on these fasts. You know, pork chops and mashed potatoes and gravy. And people always ask me, do you have visions while you're on those fasts? I say, yes. Roast beef, turkey, potato salad. And I said, I wouldn't care if it was all mixed together. I'd eat it all, like a hog. But shouldn't we just go ahead and thank God for all His food and for all His clothing? The grocery run. People walking away, I mean, they came straight-legged, walked away bow-legged. But anyway, the first charge against those mentioned in my text is, I believe, a want of reverence. They knew God, but they glorified Him not as God. A lot of people do that with their parents. This is my dad. What a nerd. You're ashamed of our dads, aren't we? A lot of times. Where do they buy these pants? They got checkers all over them, green and orange checkers, with rocket ships running through them. This is my dad. We don't give him any credit. We're ashamed a lot of times of our earthly fathers, and we're ashamed also of our heavenly Father. They knew God, but they glorified Him not as God. This is my earthly father, but I don't want to treat him as my earthly father because look at his pants. And so we find something wrong with our Heavenly Father the same way. Oh, they knew there was a God. They never denied His existence. But they had no reverence for His name. They didn't render to Him the praise to which He was entitled. They didn't glorify Him as God. I remember. I suppose about 7 or 8 years old, and my dad spoke very broken English. And I thought, oh, now Dad's going to go down there. And boy, did I ever miss it. My mother told me, she says, now, you kind of look like to me you were ashamed of your own dad. And I got to thinking about that. She says, now I want you to watch something, how your father is received by everybody else. And everybody received that man. He was so full of love, and he was so happy, and he was so bubbly, and he was so full of fun. And he was so compassionate, and he was so caring, and he was so giving. Kind of reminds you of your Heavenly Father, doesn't it? He gave two cafes away during the Depression. And I learned a valuable lesson because my mother was bold enough. And I think when you see teenagers downtown and they're sitting next to their mother, maybe having a piece of pie or something, and they're not speaking to their mother because they've got some kind of a icky, silly hat on. Maybe they won't even talk to their mothers or to their fathers. I think you should be bold like my mother was bold and nipped it in the bud right there. And say, you know something? Don't you be ashamed of your earthly father. It'll just cause you to be ashamed of your heavenly father. You won't glorify him. You won't treat him as God. You know him, but you don't know him. When he comes your way or he's mentioned, you just sort of walk away, huh? Now, teenagers, are you hearing this? Not only teenagers, old agers, middle agers, all agers. See, he doesn't fit in all the time. You can't take him all the time to all the places. You can't take your earthly father to a kegger. You don't want your heavenly father to come in. You don't want to talk about your heavenly father during that time either. Want of reverence. They knew God, but they glorified him not as God. They didn't render to him the praise to which he was entitled. They didn't glorify him, I said, as God. And I think this is true of many today. They never, ever think of God. Are you born again? Yeah. 1972. 11:17 in the evening. Huh? But they go from year to year without any practical thought of God. Oh, what's a practical thought of God? Well, if you think of... A practical thought of God is doing something. Now that's practical. It's not so spiritual, probably not. But it's practical. You remember how your father, if you did something for your father, how pleased he was? When you were a little kid and you go up there with a hose and stand there squirting it up on the car? Remember how happy my dad used to get. I was about, we got into another cafe and I started working with him. He wasn't really what you'd call a handy person with tools or things like that. Neither was I, but I was a lot better than he was. Okay? So he'd say, my gosh, how you learn all these things to do these things? This is wonderful. This is great. How you learn to do these things? My gussie. It's the same way with your heavenly father. He appreciates you. Why don't you listen on the radio? Do something for him. At least praise him. No, don't give him lip language, though. I mean, use your hands once in a while. Lord, you know, if we could put fingers on people's lips, we wouldn't only need about half of the workers. Are you hearing this? They never think of God in a practical way. Not only is he not in their words, but he's not in their thoughts. They never even think about God. In the Psalms, it says, the wicked, through the pride of their countenance, will not seek after God. It means it shows on their face. His ways, this person's ways, show up on his face. I mean, a brazen face and a broken heart can't go together. Someone that's got a scowl and a face. You ever seen somebody that makes a face? Well, when they get up in the morning, they got a face on them. Well, you might as well say, I just washed my face. I can't do a thing with it. Did you know that, though? They put on a face. They put on this face. And they bring this face face to face with other people. And the world says it. Well, the world's got a lot of wisdom. Of course, it all comes from God. Put on a happy face. You ever hear that song? Not only put it on, practice putting it on. You practice putting your makeup on. Right? Isn't that right, girls? Don't you practice putting your makeup on? You start to first put it on, you look like a Dracula's daughter. But you learn how to do these things by putting it on. Exercising it by actually doing it. I mean, the ways show up on our faces. The Bible says God is not in all their thoughts. What causes that? Pride. Pride keeps many from receiving pardon from Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Well, I'm not so bad. I'm pretty good. Better than they are. So pride, in its attempt, let's say, to soar, that very pride plunges a lot of folks into many, many dung heaps. And in the original, it means all his thoughts are, there is no God. Whether there is a God or not makes no practical difference to the wicked. But however, I must add this, for conscience sake, they would prefer there is no God. They still have a conscience. And they say, I don't care if there's a God or not. But somewhere in their hearts they're saying, I sure hope there isn't a God. A fellow came up to me. He says, you know what I am? Of course, my brain, it computes so fast sometimes. You know what I mean? And it stops on certain names. And I think, no, don't say that, and don't say that, and don't say that. Don't say that. It's like one of those the computer readout things. Sometimes it scares me. I thought, oh, God. But it says, I am an agnostic. I said, you know what? That's a Greek word. But you know what? The equivalent to that in Latin, that word, you know what it means in the equivalent? In Latin? It means ignoramus. Somehow he preferred the original Greek. And I thought to myself, and I said, I said, I couldn't bear to be an agnostic. An ignoramus about God. He's my life, and he's my food, and he's my thinking, and he's my breathing. And I thought, oh, what a terrible, lonesome, lonesome existence to wake up and not know God in the morning. Just to wake up and all of a sudden feel a tremendous void. No God. What a terrible, lonesome, lost, rejected feeling. I don't even want to think about it. And I thought the very sad thing is that many who believe that there is a God, yet glorify Him not as God, they don't even give Him a thought. And that's why it's so important that we have a fear of God. I remember one time, I seen this little child the other day. And they were running around and they were just kind of had a thumb and a dirty blanket. The deal like this, with blanket hanging out of this part and the thumb. And the kid went up and it hung on somebody. And all of a sudden, something told it that it wasn't their parent or grandma or whatever. And they looked up. You just see that look on their face. That's kind of how I feel when I'm grabbing a hold of the wrong thing. And I look up and God isn't there. I start frantically running around the wards or wherever. God, where are you? Preacher lost over here. We have him at the lost and found counter. Would you please come and collect him? Well, you call upon the Lord in the time of trouble, and the Bible says He will answer. He does. But oh, what a sad thought. And oh, how we need to go ahead and love the Lord and seek the Lord, because it's lonesome without it. Something will be missing in your life until you finally seek the Lord and glorify God by seeking Him. You know, some think about God only on Sunday. Oh, Sunday, got to go see God. And some can go all week and never give God a thought. What a miserable existence. And I thought there must be something terribly wrong with a person who is born again and never thinks about God. Oh, thinking about you, some song like that. Don't you think about the Lord? I believe if more Christian thoughts were on God instead of other people, we'd have more unity. Don't we think a lot about each other? Did you hear? Well, I never. And then, top this one. So many times our thoughts are on one another, but they're not on God. If they were on God, there'd be more unity. And so we have people that have wrong conceptions about God. He is all in all in everything. And you know, you can't put God in second place. No, you can't say, well, this person or this thing or this ministry or this or that is more important than God. It will not work. Because He is almighty, the Bible says. He is all wise. He is all gracious, knowing everything, being found every place, constantly present. The emanations of His power being everywhere in the universe, His Bible says. Why don't you try singing that sometime when you get up in the morning? Oh, God is so wonderful to me. God is so wonderful to me. Just wait and see, huh? Put on a musical. Wake yourself up with a music all about God. It says, sing unto the Lord. Don't give him second place. Don't look in the mirror and say, okay, what am I going to do with this face? Give it to God. Nobody else wants it. Care how many mud packs you put on it. And so God is infinitely glorious. Unless we treat him as such, we do not treat him as he should be treated, do we? Should we put God off? Could I see you at about 10 o'clock? I got some other things going. I promise I'll be back at 10 o'clock. I mean, I'm sorry, I'll seek you when there is more time. When I have more money, I'll spend more time in your service. But right now, I've got to make more money. Now, would you please excuse me? I think opportunity is knocking at the door. Hear a song like that? Somebody's knocking at the door. Why don't you let him come in, huh? But I don't want to miss that. That's opportunity. Opportunity only knocks once. See, Lord, when I can commit without losing everything. Oh, we don't want to miss. We don't want to lose one thing, do we? Oh, God, no. Don't. We don't want to misplace anything. We want to have all of our stuff. Aren't we all caught up with stuff? Got stuffs in your houses. You got stuff in your trunk. You got stuff in your garage. You get so much stuff, you have to leave that house and buy another house so you can put your stuff in a bigger house. You got to lock all your stuff up, don't you? Protect your, insure your stuff. Huh? I bet you brought some stuff with you today, didn't you? Well, I got to have the comb, and I got to have this and that and so on like that, don't you? Huh? We think more of our stuff than we think of God. Right? Well, the Bible says, lest you hate these things. It even talks about mother, brother, sister, wife, husband. In relation to what your love is for me, you can't be my disciple. Because see, you love your stuff too much. People even talk about, guys even talk about women. Isn't she nice stuff or he nice stuff? And so they want to add this person to their stuff. What a compliment, huh? Boy, that's nice stuff. I like to own that stuff and put it with the rest of my stuff. And so we become pack rats. God gets second place to our stuff. You want to put God off? You want to say, opportunity is knocking at my door. Well, I mean, this is too good to turn down. This is a last offer. Going. Hold it. Over here. May your arm be cut off. So that it can't be seen. Well, it says, if your arm offends you, cut it off. But Lord, I promise you with all my heart, all my mind, and all my strength, and all my soul, and I'll count on it, I will seek you after I find a new house and a new garage and a warehouse for all my stuff. See, head knowledge is a long way from heart knowledge, isn't it? How many hearing this? Are you hearing this? How about all you people in this row right here and this over here? And all you people up in the balcony. All you people on the radio. Do you treat God so? How are you treating God today? By the way, not to change the subject, but I still haven't received that new couch and that new chair. Remember I claimed them in your name? And that lower car payment? After all, doesn't my tithe guarantee that? Well, they sort of got it down in the bargain basement. The bargain basement approach. The markdown. The deal for God. Don't you realize, I believe this is very high treason against the King of Kings, the Bible says, and the Lord of Lords. Wrong ideas about God. Groveling thoughts about God. Selfish thoughts about God. Well, if you do this and this and this. And I seen a guy, he almost made me want to throw up. And he closes his eyes, taps his finger. Somewhere out there. And right now I'm prophesying. You, I've talked to you probably 15 or 20 times to give that $100 so the windows of heaven can be opened up. In the background, all these phones are ringing. Ring, 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 ring. The operators are there, you know, and they say, well, do you have master charge? What a sham. Say amen, somebody. I'm sorry, it's a sham. Though how we are, we can answer them phones. Oh, that's fun to answer the phones and tell other people how they can get out of their troubles and so on like that. Oh, yes, yes. And then we turn to a prearranged, so whatever, and then we got it all coded out, just like a shrink. And we tell them, this is what you have to do. ABC 123. How about telling the person to get involved and pray with them on the telephone? Tell them, get involved and get busy and get to work and stop laying on your bed, because all you'll do is think up more miseries for yourself. Now, I know you're disguising your voice, but you called here about 15 times. How about preaching the gospel, preacher? How about denying yourself and giving your life, no matter what it looks like to other people, give your life? Well, it ain't worth nothing anyway. The only one that really wants it is God. There are mysteries in the gospel. And so we have wrong ideas about God, groveling thoughts about God, selfish thoughts about God. And that's what the text means. When they knew God, they glorify Him not as God. And then we have those that think about God a little bit, but they never offer Him any humble spiritual worship. Never. And they think that God can be worship mechanically. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Huh? Don't they? They think they can just do it mechanically. Huh? No, it's more than mechanical praises. It's seeing the needs of people, and it's meeting their needs, and it's taking a tally of your own spiritual walk. Where are you?
There you have it. That was Separated, episode 214. That was part one. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion and part two. Have a great weekend. Get outside. Enjoy the beautiful weather in sunny Minnesota. Thank you.
gato mo, el gato mo, el gato mo, el gato mo. When the Lord get ready, el gato mo. Shine.